In Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis, the word Genesis means beginnings, and I preach a lot out of the book of Genesis, or at least I feel like I do or have down through the years, but it's a foundational book. I mean, it's the beginning of everything. And so there's a lot of good things, a lot of principles for life that we find in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse number 15 down through verse number 17. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But the Bible said, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Let's pray. Father, we come today and I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we ask that you would meet with us, that you would speak to our hearts, that the word of God would go forth with liberty. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, to help me to say the very things you'd have me to. I pray that you would speak to hearts, save souls, help us to be salt and light in the world in which we're living in. Lord, there's a lot of fear. It's a great opportunity to get the gospel out, to speak to people about eternal things, about their soul. Help us to have boldness and wisdom to do that. And Lord, protect us as a church. Be with those that are sick, whatever kind of sickness it may be. Lord, there's still cancer, heart attacks, all kinds of problems and things. Lord, there's a great need for a revival in this day and time. Lord, help me today as I stand to preach. And just give us liberty and help us in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, I want to go back and read verse number 15 just to get started today. The Bible said, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And I'd like to preach on something that's very near and dear to my heart. You know, I guess every preacher has a favorite thing or favorite few things that they enjoy preaching on. There's some things you don't enjoy preaching on, but if you're faithful to God's word, you preach on it anyway. But what I want to try to preach on today is something that's important to everybody. I mean, everybody on the face of the planet. Every person should be concerned, and maybe is, some more, some less, about what I'm going to try to preach on. It's a condition as old as mankind itself. We go right back to the book of Genesis, where God made man and put him upon the earth. Some people in the world take it for granted, think very little of it, appreciate it, maybe don't even appreciate what they have. Others would love to have it and would give their life for it. What I'm talking about this morning, the history of the world is a long struggle either for or against it. And surely if you study the Bible, you'll find out that God is definitely on one side of this. And the devil is on the other side of this. What I want to try to preach on today is the subject of liberty and tyranny. Liberty and tyranny. God is on one side, the liberty side, and the devil is on the other side, the tyranny side. Many people have the wrong idea about it, though. They think God is a tyrant. They think God is a God that is constrictive of us and doesn't want you to do anything and is always just shooting people down with lightning bolts and things like that. Now, that's not how God is. But a lot of people think, boy, the devil, he's a fun guy, and sin will set you free if you just get out here and do anything you wanted to. That'd really make you free. Well, what that actually does is brings you into bondage, and the Lord sets people free. We'll see some of these things today and show you from the Bible that if you think about God as a tyrant, nothing could be further from the truth. Now, in the Bible's a big book. A lot of history in the Bible. There's a lot of people in the Bible. There are a lot of people in the Bible who are tyrants. A lot of them. Nimrod, you go to Genesis chapter number 10. He's the first tyrant in the Bible. He's the first type of the Antichrist that we find in the Bible. And Nimrod, you have Nimrod. You have on over in the book of Exodus, and we'll see a little bit of this today. Pharaoh, who had the children of Israel down in bondage in Egypt, he was a tyrant over the children of Israel. Talks about over and over again their taskmasters and their bondage and their service and that they served with rigor and all of these things. He was a tyrant. Goliath was a tyrant to the nation of Israel. The king, many kings in the Bible, King Ben-Hadad, King Nebuchadnezzar, Jezebel, Mordecai, Herod in the New Testament, they were all tyrants. And guess what? God was against every one of them. God came out against every one of them. Never did God come out and promote tyranny in any form or fashion whatsoever. All these people I've mentioned this morning, they were all oppressive of the people they ruled over. They were oppressive of the worship of Jehovah God. They were narcissists. That just means they were so full of pride, they couldn't see how prideful they were. They thought, man, I'm the greatest thing it ever was. They were all like that. They were all evil. They were all murderers. They were all full of pride. They were all anti-God. Nebuchadnezzar had a change of heart, but something happened to him. But all of them were that way. God in the Bible is anti-tyrant. He is pro-liberty. Now I want to show you some things out of Genesis chapter 2 and a little bit later out of Exodus chapter 1 and chapter number 2. But here in Genesis chapter number 2, I want us to read verses 16 and 17. And the first thing I want to point out is original liberty. This is original liberty. When God made man, the Bible said in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, you find here in the Bible in verse number 16, the first time the word free is mentioned in the Bible, it's actually freely. Freely. God created man. He put him in the Garden of Eden there, and God told Adam, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God made man, put him in the garden. He said, look around, Adam, it's all available to you. Not only did he say it's freely for you, he said, I'm putting you in charge of everything. You have a responsibility, you have a job, you are to dress it, you are to keep it, you are to have dominion, you're in charge of everything. Look back at chapter 1 and verse number 28, what the Bible said over there. Chapter 1, verse 28. So in chapter 1 you have the creation, and in chapter 2 you have the details of the creation. There are not two creation accounts. I've heard people say that. Well, it says in chapter 1 or chapter number 2. Chapter 1 says this is what happened. Chapter 2 comes along, fills in the details. It's not two things, it's one thing. But in chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That means go out and have children and fill the earth up with your children. Replenish the earth and subdue it. That means you're in charge of it. I'm glad the earth is partly subdued. If you come over to my house and see all the briars and things, it doesn't look subdued, but we fight it back, you know. That means God gave you charge of the wind to make electricity and coal to dig out of the earth and burn. And I mean, you know, we use the natural resources for a blessing and a benefit. God told Adam, this is what I want you to do. Go out into the earth, have children, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea. That means that God told Adam, hey, you're in charge of everything. You're in charge of the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Adam, you're to be the steward of the earth. You're to take care of the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you. It shall be for meat. Adam, here's your food. Here's how you're going to live. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so God made everything. He said, Adam, here it is. You're in charge of everything. Can you imagine that? God said, here's everything. You talk about liberty. Now, we can't even imagine that in our mind, because you can't do anything without being told how to do and what to do. God put Adam in charge of everything, and he said, here it is. There it is. Just run it. I mean, he didn't give him a long list of, now, this is what I want you to do, or this is how you got to do it. He said, Adam, here it is. Figure it out. And I believe personally Adam was really smart. And the original people were really smart. I mean, they still haven't figured out how they build the pyramids. And we think we're smart, but I think they were smarter than we think we are. They were really smart. They knew how to do things. He said, here it is, you're in charge of everything. God didn't come along and he didn't say, now Adam, before I turn everything over, I have some papers to sign. Can you imagine how long that would have took? Now, Adam, there's some cliffs and there's some water out there, and you might get hurt doing this thing. And if you do, it's not my fault. Just sign right here. You know, that's how we function in our society. There was no papers to sign. There was no list of how to do everything. There was no training. You know, it's called in the military, if you don't go to a technical school or something like that, it's called on-the-job training. Well, Adam just had on-the-job training. Here's everything, and you're in charge of it, and I want you to take care of it. Now, he had ultimate liberty. There's no list of rules. There's no set of commandments. Nothing like that. That is ultimate, original liberty. I mean, he just said, here it is. Figure it out. Let me say, liberty works. How come God did that? Because he made man able to figure out what works best. And he said, here it is. You got dominion over the whole thing. Here's the garden. Dress it. Keep it. Now, let me say, on the other hand, under tyranny, freedom is never an option to anything. Under tyranny, there's always more paperwork, more fines, more regulations, more ordinances, more laws, more harassment, more of everything. But freedom is never an option. And that's why freedom is so very, very important. Once you give it up, don't expect the government will ever give it back, because it likes it. You know, like the evil professor that rubbed his hands, it likes power. But God's not that way. God said, here's everything, and you're in charge. Under God's original economy, he created us to be free. Now, we got to get that in our minds. When God created man, he created us to be free and to have liberty. That was God's design. That is God's will, that man be free. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says over there, the last book in the Old Testament says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. God has not changed his mind that he wants man to be free. God wants man to be free. We need to get that in our minds and in our hearts. It is still His plan. And I want to show you that today. But I wanted you to see in the Bible there is original liberty. But I also want you to see that there's optional liberty. Now look what the Bible said in verse number 17. In verse 16, God said, here's everything, you're in charge. Freely eat of everything in the garden. But, verse number 17. Now, I didn't say there's no laws, but I said there wasn't a list of laws. There was one thing Adam was not supposed to do. Just one thing. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So there was only one thing that Adam was not supposed to do. And it was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "You not to do that. Thou shalt not." Now, it was for Adam's good. Because he said, if you do that, you're going to die. You will surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God made us free, but God in no way made us stay that way. Because Adam had a choice. See, we call that free will. God has given each and every one of us a free will. We have a choice of what we're going to do. We have a choice of how we are going to live our lives. We are not like the animals. The animals do not have a choice. They're free, but they're not free like we are free. Birds are free. Would everybody vote this morning and say, I think the birds are free. They're flying around the house. They're, build their nests wherever they want to. And, man, what a carefree life. God has put them on a program that He said, I'm going to feed you every day. They don't have to worry about it. That's what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, the fowls of the air. The lilies of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin. God feeds them every day. They don't worry about it. They're free. But they are only free in the bird world. See, they have no opportunity. They have no ability to get out of the little bird world that God has put them in. The birds never get together and say, you know what? Let's take over. Why should we have to wait for them to fill up the bird feeder? Let's just go to Walmart and get it all ourselves. It doesn't enter into their minds. They only have a big world, and God has put them in it. They only have freedom. They can't say, I want to be a fish. I want to live under the ocean. Fish do not say, let's take over the land creatures. Elephants don't say, I want to fly. That's just a Disney movie. They might have big ears, but elephants can't fly. See, they're only free in a certain sense of the word, but the apes never say, I know there's a movie about the apes taking over. It's not going to happen. It's not just not going to happen. They're only free, but they're not like us. Man has the ability to choose. Man can say, I want to go on the sea. And he built a boat and he built a ship. I want to go under the sea and he built submarines. I want to fly in the air and he built balloons and gliders and planes. And he said, I want to go into space and he built rockets and all of these things. We're all created, but we are not like the animals. But we got a choice. They have no choice. We have all kinds of choice. We have choice every day that we make, how we're going to live, what we're going to do, what kind of person that we're going to be, and all of these things. Man was given dominion over everything. He was put in charge of everything. He was given the ability to make a choice, and he was given responsibility. And therefore, his liberty was optional. It's based on his choices. what he decided to do. Am I going to listen to God's one command, one thing God told me not to do, or not? So he had an option, he had a choice. If we don't have an option, if we don't have free will, we're no different than the birds and the fish and the snakes and everything else. But guess what? We got a free will. Animals do not have, not like we have. And so therefore liberty was optional. It was conditional. And a long story short, you read Genesis chapter 1. Hey, that's pretty good. In fact, everything's good. You read Genesis chapter number 2. Hey, everything's still pretty good. You get in chapter number 3. What in the world happened? And in chapter number 4, they're killing each other. Long story short, man sinned. Hatred comes into the world. Murder comes into the world. Pride comes into the world. Problems come into the world. Men wanting to dominate other men and women and boys and girls and tyranny. And so the great struggle between the two things, God's design was to be free. Man wants to dominate other men and bring them under his control and power and all of these things. Their liberty was optional. Go to Exodus chapter number 1. I want to show you the opposite of liberty. Now, we're going to come back to chapter Genesis. So in Genesis 1 and 2, you have original liberty. The very next book of the Bible, Exodus, you have the opposite of liberty. Exodus chapter number 1. Now, by this time, a lot of things have happened. And the children of Israel, they are down in Egypt and they are in bondage. Chapter 1, verse number 11. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I just want to point out what is going on down in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, verse number 11. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. So I've got underlined in my Bible, taskmasters, that's hard to say. Affliction, burdens. Verse 12, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And verse number 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Verse 14, they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. The last part of verse 16 or 14, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. That word rigor means severity, exactness, strictness. Down in verse 16, Pharaoh said to the midwives, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. You see what's going on under tyranny? Make your life hard. You don't have any choice about how you live, what you do, where you go. Your very life is at the whim of another person. Pharaoh said, we got enough of these Israelites down here. You know, you midwives, you go down there and they're going to have a baby. If it's a girl, let him live. If it's a boy, just kill him. That's tyranny. Just kill them people. Make them serve us. Make their life with rigor, the Bible said. Look at chapter 5, verse number 9, what the Bible says over there. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 9. All these words, if you read this sometime, you ought to underline it. Verse 6, the word taskmasters. The verse 9, let more work be laid upon them that they may labor therein. Verse 11, the Bible said, go ye get straw where ye can find it, yet not all of your work shall be diminished. Life under tyranny is very hard. Verse 13, taskmasters. Verse 14, Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them were beaten and demanded. They beat the people. They demanded the people to work harder. Verse number 16, make brick and behold, thy servants are beaten. Verse number 18, go therefore now and work. Verse number 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. I think that's a good way to sum it up. Just, they were in a bad spot. People under tyranny are not happy that way. If they say they're happy that way, they don't know any other way. But life is hard, and you got a task master, and you're somebody's servant, and you got no decisions that you can make about your own life. I read something a while back. It said there's two ways to bring people into bondage. One, make them work for nothing. That's what Pharaoh did. Here's what you do. You're going to work for me. You're my slaves. I'm your master. You're going to work, and I'm going to feed you, and you're going to work harder, and your life is going to get worse, and we're going to beat you and kill you and make them work for nothing. That's one way to bring people under bondage, or pay them to do nothing. That's where we are in America. Pay them to do nothing. One of them is communism and one of them is socialism, and they're both the same thing. That's where we are in our country. Pay them to do nothing. God wanted Israel to be free. Now, I just got done reading up through Exodus chapter number 11. I think I finished this morning. Why did God want Israel to be free? Moses went down there and he said, "Let my people go." Why? So they can go worship me. God wants us to be free to worship Him. If you do not have freedom to worship the Lord, that's tyranny. To worship the Lord according to His word. Moses said, "We want to go 3 days. Everybody's going. Everything we've got's going. Our wives, our little children, everybody's got to go." And Pharaoh, little by little, he said, "Well, the men can go. Nobody else." Then he said, "You know, the men, the women can go, but not anybody else." Then he said, "You know, these can go, but not anybody else." Tyranny doesn't want you to worship the way God wants you to worship. Nebuchadnezzar over there in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist, and in the end days, in the end times, there's going to be a one world religion. There's only going to be one God that's going to be allowed to be served, and it's going to have to be when and how the Antichrist says. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, "I'm going to build an image of gold. We're all going to worship at the same time. You're going to worship how I say, and if you don't worship, we're going to put you to death." And that's how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up thrown in the fiery furnace. They didn't have freedom to worship God how God wanted them to worship. Now, let me ask this morning, are we free to choose our work? They weren't in Israel. In Egypt, I mean. Pharaoh said, "This is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it." You say, "Well, preacher, we're free to choose our work," not when the government says to stay home, not, don't work. Are we free to choose our wage? Well, I think my work ought to be equal to my wage. But the government says, stay home, don't work. During all this stuff that's been going on, some have made more. I've heard of people that have had, got on unemployment, and I'm not against that. I just, you know, if you're due it, go get it. But I've heard of some that said, "Man, I'm doing really well. I'm making way more than I was making waiting tables at the restaurant. Why would you want to go back to work?" I've heard of a lot of people that have said, "Man, I'm not making anything." I had a man tell me yesterday, he said, and he was from another state. He said, "We've been getting $600, but it's getting ready to go down to $300. He said, "You can't live on $300. I don't know if it was a week or a month or whatever. Some have been making more, some have been making less. Lots of people, lots of businesses going out of business. They're never going to open back up. They're making nothing. So you think the government can't come along and say, I'm going to tell you how to work. I'm going to tell you what you can make. I'm going to give you what I want to give you." That's where we are. Are we free to worship? The government comes along and says, all right, no church. And for a while, we, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Then they come along and say, can't sing in church. That's where they are in California. The governor said you can't sing in church. What kind of church can you have if you don't sing? Now, I'm telling you, that thrilled my heart this morning. There is a power, I believe, personally, there is a healing presence when God's people get together and sing and glorify the Lord. And that helped me. You don't know how many people are going through life and they're saying, I'm so depressed, I'm so down, this is killing me. But you get together with God's people, it'll lift you up. Let me tell you, that's good for you. Get together and laugh a little bit. That's good for you. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The devil doesn't want God's people to get together. The devil doesn't want you to laugh and enjoy life. I promise you that. And when Stephen stepped on that bug, I didn't say kill it. I said get it. I said get it like with a Kleenex and throw it out. So if there's a spot there, send Brother Stephen the bill. But you know, tyranny never, never allows for freedom. It always wants to shut down and close up and decide everything for you. Tyranny does not allow you to use your own wisdom in things. Are you allowed to think for yourself in this day and time? I'll tell you, our country has lost its mind. You're not even allowed to think for yourself. You're not allowed to come along and say, well, I think that this is not good, what we're doing. Oh, you just don't love people. Oh, you're just an ignorant hillbilly and all that bunch of stuff. You're just not allowed to think for yourself. Let's just be honest. That's where we are. Folks, that's tyranny. That's what tyranny looks like. I've had people, I've read things where people have said, oh, these people in there, their precious liberty and freedom. It is precious. It is wonderful. Everybody that thinks that socialism and communism is such a great thing, they need to visit a third world country. They need to visit a country where there is actually socialism and communism. You come back with a different attitude. Well, there's the opposite of liberty. In the last days, the world's greatest tyrant will come to power. I believe we're living in the last days. That greatest tyrant is called the Antichrist. And I preached a few Sundays ago about, out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. I believe we're seeing that happening. Lawlessness, anarchy, tyranny. Number 4, there's the onus of liberty. Now the word onus, go back to Genesis chapter number 3. The word onus, it means this, O-N-U-S. It means a charge, an obligation that is disagreeable, a task that is hard to do. The onus of liberty. Genesis chapter number 3. Now I said, chapter 1, everything's good. Chapter number 2, everything's great. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, now the serpent. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That's why you're still cutting briars. That's why everything fell all to pieces And you got to worry about killing and stealing and robbing and every other ungodly thing that goes on. That right there is why you got to worry about dying. Because they disobeyed what God had to say. You see, man, God made us to want to be free. I think everybody would say, I want to be free. But the thing is, man wants to be free and at the same time think he's smarter than God. And that's where we get in trouble. The devil came along and said, oh, God's hiding something from you. You just don't know what you're missing out on. And Eve gave into that. The Bible said she was deceived. I want to be free, but I think I'm smarter than God. That's where our trouble is. The onus of liberty, the obligation, the thing that is disagreeable. So they sinned against God. They disobeyed the one thing that God told them not to do. And the result of that, Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man sin entered into the world. Adam brought it in. It's Adam's fault. I preached a message on that years ago. It's all Adam's fault. It's Adam's fault. All this stuff that's going on, all this sin, all this dying, and our natural inclination is to not take responsibility for what we've done. That's what Adam did. They sinned against God. They disobeyed God. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Look at verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Now, let me say, God knew what happened, and he knew where Adam was. And God, in his goodness, come looking and calling for Adam. But he wanted Adam to fess up. That's what he was trying to get out. Who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Is that not human nature right there? God said to Adam, did you do what I told you to do, not to do? And what did he say? The woman. All you women ought to say, amen. Your husband ever blame you? No, somebody's. Sister Jenny's honest. She has an honest heart before God. It's her fault. I didn't do it. She done it. She made me do it. And God looked at her. And he said, is that right? She said, the serpent. Adam said, God, it wasn't me. And Eve said, Lord, it wasn't my fault. And here's the thing you find all through the Bible, personal responsibility. Until we are willing to fess up, until we are willing to confess our sinfulness, our liberty will never be restored the way God wants it to be restored. What are you saying, preacher? You'll never get saved until you're willing to confess, it's me, oh Lord. I sinned. I done it. It's my fault. I'm a sinner. I'd heard the gospel hundreds of times before I got saved. You know when I got saved? When I realized I was going to hell. Because I was lost and I'd sinned against the holy God. Now that's hard for us to admit. It's very easy for us to be like Adam. Oh, Lord, the woman thou gavest me. Well, that is exactly how we are. If you're driving, men, you get lost, who are you going to blame? Well, you're the one who wanted to come. You're the one. You're supposed to be listening to the, you know, that's our job. I can't listen and drive at the same time. If I'm going by the, and why is that a woman's voice? You ever wondered about that? So you got somebody to blame. What is it, Alexa? You know, or whoever it is. She told me to come down here. I didn't. Sin brings tyranny. You got to remember that. When people sin, it brings you into bondage. The Babylonian captivity, the whole thing. God told them, you sin, you're going to be carried away. You're going to be carried away into captivity. You read the book of Jeremiah. God gave them an opportunity, and they flat out rejected it. The Lord said, here's the old paths, walk in the old paths. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. See and ask for the old paths, where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What happened to them? They ended up in bondage. They ended up destroyed, the whole Jerusalem, the walls, the city, everything. Sin brings tyranny. Proverbs 28, verse number 2 says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. The more people sin, the more tyranny gains power. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. The less Christianity you have, the less gospel you have, the less Bible you have, the more bondage you have. People make fun of living in the South. Oh, got a church on every corner. I'd rather have a church on every corner than a bar on every corner. I'd rather have a church on every corner than a drug dealer on every corner. I'd rather have a bunch of churches in a county than I would a bunch of places where prostitution, whatever, meth houses, all that bunch of stuff. Wherever there's sin, there's bondage, there's tyranny. But that's the onus of liberty. We want to be free, but we just don't want to do things the way God says. But that's the only way to be free. One last thing I'll show you this morning. There's the opportunity of liberty. Look at chapter 3, verse number 21. What the Bible said over there. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, I'm not going to go all into that, but what is that a picture of? Blood had to be shed for them to be set free, for them to have liberty again. God made coats of skins. God clothed them. They had to be covered. Their sin had to be forgiven. Blood had to be shed. The opportunity of liberty. I read something this past week, a couple of days ago, and somebody had put a tweet out, and they had said this, God is not in this cancel culture. So what is that? Our cancel culture. I've heard lots of different people talking about that. That is, you know, anything you don't agree with, man, you protest all the grocery stores, there's not going to be anywhere to buy groceries before long. I mean, these people, they've lost their minds. Canceling everything. Protest here, not going to buy there, not going to shop there. I really miss the days where you could just shop and you weren't making a political statement. You know, you get a cup of coffee and you weren't supporting some ungodly something, but that's about where we are. But they said, God is not in this canceled culture. And somebody responded and they said, well, God canceled two people in Eden for eating an apple. That's not right. Because if God had canceled Adam and Eve, you and I wouldn't be here. God did not cancel Adam and Eve. What did God do? God came. God in His grace found them, called to them, shed blood for them so that they could be saved. That's what God did. God gave them another chance. God came along. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become of one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What did God do? God gave him another chance. God drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and God put armed guards there to keep them out. And God said, all right, we're going to try this thing again. And for a long time, God gave man ultimate liberty, and he added something. Genesis chapter number 5, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so God tried to help man and give him all the liberty that he could, and the way that he directed man as to what he was and was not supposed to do, the Spirit of God. But what happened? The world became wicked and evil, and it became so bad God had to destroy. Then Abraham comes along, and God says, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to make promises unto Abraham. Maybe if they realize the promises of God, they'll do what? That didn't work. They ended up in bondage down in Egypt. Then God came along with Moses and said, I'll give them laws to live by. Guess what? They didn't keep God's laws. See, God always gives maximum opportunity for liberty. And guess what? Man does. Man messes it up. And nothing ever worked till Jesus come along. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You want to know how to have liberty? You got to have it by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he ever sets you free, you'll be free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I love that. Saved people know what it is to be free. And that's why we ought to love it, and why we ought to cherish it, and why we ought to appreciate it more than anybody else. Because you know what it is. You know what it is to be a slave to Satan and self and sin. But hey, if you've ever been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, I'm free indeed. I'm really free. I know what it is to be free. And even if man comes along and locks you up, guess what? You're still going to be free. If man comes along and kills you, what did he do? Sentenced you to heaven. I think when John the Baptist's head fell down in the charger, John was already in heaven sticking his tongue out. What'd you do to me? Sent me to heaven. Free. Free is wonderful. God's design, God's desire for us is to be free. The ultimate freedom is to be free from sin. So Jesus came, died upon the cross, shed his blood, gave his life so that we could be free. But I want to say in closing this morning, every person here, you're going to live under one or the other. You are going to live under tyranny, or you are going to live under liberty. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be free indeed. If you don't, you're in bondage. You're in bondage in this life. This world controls you, controls your thought, your mind, your heart, everything else. And then when you die, you're still not going to heaven. It's terrible to be under bondage. It's to have a taskmaster. It's to have a life of rigor, which is no joy, no peace, no happiness. But boy, in Jesus, you can be set free. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? In Jesus, we can be set free. That's why tyranny hates the gospel, hates churches, hates the Bible, hates Jesus Christ, because it can't do anything with that. It's good to meet together. It's good to worship together. It's good to meet together and say, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I really appreciate your good attention today and the good liberty to preach. And it is so very, very relevant to our lives and what's going on, because we ought to be able to see, you know, the difference out there. This is what it means to be free. This is what it means to be under tyranny. I'm really thinking, just in my heart, I don't think things will ever go back to how they were just a few short months ago. I don't think we'll ever go back. So we ought to be able to see the difference between the two. Father, we come today. I thank you. I praise you for your many blessings. And Lord, I pray you take the message and use it today for your honor and for your glory. I pray that you'd use it that some soul might hear and be saved and realize their position before a holy God that Adam had to acknowledge and say, that we have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have to see our sinful condition before you. I pray that you'd help us as your people to be proponents of liberty and to go out here and tell this lost world, hey, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. There is a greater way, and it's liberty to be set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for the power of the gospel. And I pray that you'd help us today, that you'd give, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit on the message in our lives to witness like we ought to. We pray for our leaders, and we pray for our country, and we pray for revival and souls to be saved. We come today, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen. I'd like for us to come to our feet this morning. And Brother Nathan, if you'd pick us out a song. And maybe Sister Alice, Sister Sheila, if you'd come back and play for us. I'd like for us to sing. If you're here today and God spoke to your heart, you say, I need to pray. I need to talk to the preacher. I need to get some lady to pray with me. If you're here and you're a lady and you don't want to talk to me, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. But if you're here and God has spoke to your heart, you say, preacher, I need to be saved. Won't you come? Won't you let me pray with you, talk with you? If God spoke to your heart, you need to come.
Page 375 in the red hymnal. 375.